Gary Collins. Woohoo!
No, I don't need it. Okay. Good morning. Good morning. So let's pray. God, thank you for this Sunday. Thank you for the chance to worship together. Lord, I pray that what we discuss this morning, what we meditate on, just brings you glory and grows us closer to you, Jesus. In your name, amen.
Amen.
Okay, so it's not idol worship. The fact that we have Dodger paraphernalia on, my family. Just want to make that clear. We're just excited about our team. but I did want to tell you that because Jesus died and on the cross and rose from the grave, I am a... That's the only reason why I wore this. Okay, so the other thing that was funny is I'm wondering if the Garys have a special wavelength. So one thing is, I don't know if the other Garys think this, but Gary's not like a super common name. So whenever someone says Gary in a room, I always go like this because I think it's me. Not like John. John, you know, like John, I'm sure the Johns out there just like kind of roll with it, right, you know. But Gary is a little less common to me anyway. And then, but anyhow, I was talking to Gary, one of the Garys, and it wasn't me, even though I do talk to myself. But and he was just telling me about roles in the church and spiritual gifts and how, you know, to figure that out and all that stuff. And this was before, you know, I spoke last Sunday. And so I'm just listening to him like,
Right before.
Thank you. Right before. And I'm just listening to him and thinking, you know, this is kind of funny that we're talking about this right now. And so then, you know, I spoke on it last Sunday. And then he was talking to me yesterday at food distribution. He was like, so did that just like, God put that on your heart or how'd that all happen? You know, it was just cool to see God just kind of confirming of that because, I mean... Coincidence? I think not. I mean, we could say that, but I don't think so. Anyhow, so, but Gary, thank you for that, just the conversation that we had, both of them. It was, it ministered to me. So, anyhow, so this is part two of Living Sacrifices, Spiritual Gifts. One kind of thing I want to hit on. Spiritual gifts are for the common good. In 1 Corinthians 12:7, a spiritual gift is given to each of us so we can help each other. That's out of New Living Translation. I really like that. It's just very simple and kind of just nice, right? A spiritual gift is given to each of us so we can help each other. You know, it's not a magic trick. It's not a something that brings glory to ourselves. It's the purpose, the goal is to help one another, to serve the Lord, and serving each other. Okay, so that's what that's all about. We're going to read 1 Corinthians 12:14-26. I think I read this last Sunday, but I just want to go over that again. For the body does not consist of one member, but of many. If the foot should say, because I am not a hand, I do not belong to the body, that would not make it any less a part of the body. And if the ear should say, because I am not an eye, I do not belong to the body, that would not make it any less a part of the body. If the whole body were an eye, where would be the sense of hearing? If the whole body were an ear, where would be the sense of smell? But as it is, God arranged the members in the body, each one of them as he chose. If all were a single member, where would the body be? As it is, there are many parts, yet one body. The eye cannot say to the hand, I have no need of you. Nor again the head to the feet, I have no need of you. On the contrary, the parts of the body that seem to be weaker are indispensable. And on those parts of the body that we think less honorable, we bestow the greater honor. And our presentable, unpresentable parts are treated with greater modesty, which our more presentable parts do not require. But God has so composed the body, giving greater honor to the parts the part that lacked it, that there be no division in the body, but that the members may have the same care for one another. If one member suffers, all suffer together. If one member is honored, all rejoice together. Excuse me, I'm getting over a cold, so my voice is a bit off. So before we get into it, you know, it's kind of a sports theme a little bit with what's going on. And I just saw an analogy when I was praying about this, meditating on it. And so I got a video for you here. Probably many of you watch the Olympics. Probably some of you, a few of you, watch the basketball competition. And I think it was USA versus France. And there's this guy, Steph Curry, who is just, he's unbelievable, okay? He's like on a, he really is on another level, okay? And then he went on another level in this game in the Olympics. And we're going to just watch, and I don't even think it includes all of what he did in that right at the end. So we're, what's that?
She says we're going to watch the whole game.
We're going to watch the whole game. That would be a veteran move. So we're just going to watch the replay of the game, and I'm done, you know? No, we'll watch the snippet. So if we could go ahead and play that. Buffering. This is right at the end, by the way. This is the end of the game. I mean, isn't that stupid? Okay, you can stop it there, because all the rest is him just telling France night-night, basically. I mean, he just, it was kind of a one-man show. You saw the lot, it was double-team. He just threw it up there, and you know, if it was me that did it, that'd be like, okay, that's lucky, you know? But he does that all the time, right? Now, as cool as that is, basketball's different. Basketball, like one individual can like kind of take over a game and carry the team on their shoulders to just a great extent, kind of like what he did here. But the church is different than that. So I equate the church more to football. Okay. So now there's Tom Brady, who I'm just going to tell you, okay, and I'm a Dolphins fan, all right? So, I mean, I'm not a Patriots guy. But Tom Brady is the best quarterback ever. He just is. And that, and I didn't, I wasn't sure. I thought, well, he's with the Patriots. Maybe he's just part of a good system. But when he went to Tampa Bay and won the Super Bowl, I'm like, that's it. He's the best ever. I can't help it. But and being the best quarterback ever is in the NFL kind of means you're like kind of one of the best players ever in the NFL. But if he were to go out there without his offensive line, without anyone to throw the ball to, without his running backs picking up a blitz, he wouldn't be able to do anything. If it was just Tom Brady and 11 guys on defense that are like fast and big and mean, they're gonna kill him, right? He can't run around there and do anything like that. And that's not even talking about the defense side of the ball. That's how the church is, in my opinion. The church is that team where, and the Bible talks about this, that there's everyone has a special part in the body of Christ. Amen. Amen. It's like we're on a football team, and what I'm going to say that a few times is we all need each other. Okay, and what's interesting is we need each other for maybe a slightly different outcome than I realized before I started like preparing for this. Anyway, the body works together. Each part of the body is vital. The weak parts, quote unquote, are indispensable. So what happens when we don't serve in our calling? Like I said last week, the body of Christ suffers. Okay? There's There's something that happened, and we've experienced that. Probably, if you've been in church long enough, you know that if someone's missing, if someone's sick, and they can't do something, if someone has, and I'm not even talking about just like those physical, tangible things. Like, I mean, if people aren't praying for the church, I guarantee you we can sense that, right? We know something's off and something's amiss, right? So when people aren't fulfilling their role in the church, the body suffers, the body of Christ suffers, and also it's a missed opportunity for that person, right? It's a get to. It's not a have to, you know? We get to serve one another, and in so doing, serve Christ. Amen? Amen. I mean, that's an opportunity. And then another thing, he gives honor to those who lack it. Would you rather honor yourself or have God honor you? I would rather have God honor me, quite honestly. I'm very bad at honoring myself, as much as I try to. It pales in comparison how God can bring me honor, okay? So, just something to think about. I want to go back to... Go ahead and skip the next slide. I just want to go back to Jack's sermon, little mini-series he preached on a few weeks ago now. Love God, love others, serve your world, right? I think it was three sermons, right? And one part of that stood out to me. It was saved to serve. We are not saved by serving, but we are saved for serving. And I sat there and I thought, yeah, that's kind of true. And in Ephesians 2, 8 through 10, familiar verse to many of you, "For by grace you have been saved through faith, and this is not of your own doing. It is a gift of God, not a result of works, so that no one may boast. For we are his workmanship created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them." So your salvation and your chance to go to heaven and your ticket into heaven and ticket to be have an opportunity to worship God for all eternity, that's not the only part of it, okay? And of course, me being an egocentric person, you know, I think, oh yeah, well, you know, Jesus died for me, right? So my salvation, my ticket to heaven, that's the end goal, right? That's it. So it I knew it didn't stop there, but that was kind of like the big main outcome of that. But really, it's more about getting us right with God so we can operate in the way that we're designed to operate. And so we can function in the way that we're supposed to function. God's just like, hey, okay, I'm going to get you here, and now you can do work for me. Right? And it kind of takes a lot of that focus off, it's all about us, you know? Because Jesus loved us, he died for us, but yet he wants something for us that's bigger than us. I guess you could put it that way. So again, I'm just reiterating, the body works together. The body of Christ, oh, I'm sorry, when the body, this is a typo, I just realized it, so. The rookie mistake. when the body doesn't work together, the body of Christ suffers and we miss an opportunity, okay? So, and then I was thinking, and now this part is more of just what I'm interjecting into this. Just reflecting on, because I have a long history in the church, I've done a lot of different things. And I started to categorize those things in my head. And I don't think this is all inclusive. Because it's the thing, it kind of it bugs me when someone comes at you with like this list that's, this is you could fit everything into this bucket and this bucket and this bucket. I don't think that's usually accurate. But I think this can be said that this is a somewhat a list of kinds of calling that people have. So there are those things that you are naturally, quote-unquote, gifted in. And I say that because natural means that just kind of happens, which I don't believe that. And then two, I think most of the things that, most of our gifting, most of our talents, there's a level of cultivation that happens, right? There's a level that we learn stuff, we grow in things, we figure stuff out, you know, and God blesses us to be able to do that. But my example here is with Carrie. She is naturally gifted at singing, okay? And, you know, and I was talking to her about this, and I think she started, she did, I wouldn't say argue, but, you know, there was a discussion that happened. And she's right, because, you know, it's not as if she just came out of the womb, you know. She has training and learned things and developed and grew, right? But I would still say there's a little bit of a bent towards that. So, and, you know, that led her to lead worship because of this talent that she has, okay? So, and it was like she was just doing this in school, grew up singing choir, and then God led her to leading worship through singing at New Hope. So there's that part. So there's things you think about in your life that you're just good at. You're just good at, and that's something that, in a way, you can serve. Then there's those things that which you're serving to grow you, okay? So there's certain things that you probably, or abilities that you may feel yourself is lacking in, something that you're really not that good at. However, God keeps putting you in a situation where you kind of have to do that, right? You have to grow in that serving, in that ability, in that gift. I think I mentioned it last week. Public speaking is not my thing. I do not particularly enjoy it. And what was interesting about this is it wasn't like God, you know, just put me in front of you all to, you know, speak on Sunday. It was things that happened at work. So I, you know, just my position changed at work. And then suddenly, you know, because my boss was like, okay, you're going to go give this presentation. And what am I going to say? No. I'm too scared. It's not my gifting, you know. That's not going to go over well. And especially with my boss, it'd be like, we'll have a chat. It's actually what we call it an OFI, an opportunity for improvement, okay? And so God kind of started me off slow and just, you know, forced me in these situations. I'm just going to say force, yeah. You know, because that's kind of what it is, right? It's that, you know, mama bird kicking the baby bird out of the nest. But, you know, and then, you know, you obviously with time, with repetition, you grow more comfortable and you kind of get accustomed to it. And so, you know, now is it still something that I'm like super good at and super excited to do? I mean, honestly, it's not. My armpits are still sweaty when I'm standing there singing because I'm getting nervous. Sorry, I talk about my sweaty armpits, but it was probably not appropriate, but regardless, you know, that's when, you know, something just kind of clicks and it's sort of like, I'm just going to walk, right? And you're just going to do it. And part of it is I'm going to just trust you, Lord, and I'm not going to think about it too much and I'm just going to go there. And then part of it is, it doesn't even have to be perfect, right, to get started. Because that's something I know teachers are super bad about. My business that I'm in, it's not any fault of their own, but they just want it to be perfect before they'll implement something, before they'll implement some strategy, some instructional strategy. They're trying to get it perfect. And then they do it. Well, if you're waiting for perfection, you're never going to do it. I mean, quite honestly. So just in the words of a certain Jack Bracey, just get going, right? And God is going to fill in the gaps. And if you mess up, oh well. You know, I mean, it's not most of the things that we do. I mean, raising kids is one of the most important things that you can do in your life, right? And I mean, are we perfect with raising our kids? Evie says yes. Just, I don't know what I'm supposed to purchase at this point or provide to you. But no. But yeah, I mean, but you don't have a chance to perfect raising children. You know, I mean, yes, you need to do some things to like gain knowledge and get wisdom and talk to folks. But at the end of the day, you just kind of have to figure it out, right? And that's kind of what it is with this sort of thing. So those things where God's wanting to grow you, and then there are those things that fulfill the desires of your heart. And that's really the thing that I most enjoy. And I'm just going to, because I don't know what the desires of your heart are that God's placed in you. So that's hard for me to say. So for me, it's kind of weird. I went to Costco on
Friday.
Fill it in. Went to Costco on Friday, and I picked up $2,800 worth of candy, okay? And so it's 24 cases on this truck, right? The orange trucks they got there. And I'm stacking them, and of course, everyone's like, what is going on? They're all like, oh, I want to go to your house. Yeah. House of God? Oh, and then they're like, never mind. But anyway, so, and you know, it's a hassle, but you know, for whatever reason, I just like doing that stuff. Yeah. I like going out when we do the fellowships. I like grilling for people, you know. I'm just going to share with you a little personal thing. When I retire, my dream is to do disaster relief with American Red Cross, you know. Dwayne and Cherie,
yes.
Right?
Yes.
That's, I always thought, and I'm like, man, that's pretty cool, you know. And obviously, with what we do on the last Saturday, what we did yesterday, you know, it's just a great opportunity to where you can show you really do care and you want to meet a need, but you also have a bigger, you know about this bigger need that some of these folks have, and you want to share that as well. So, I'm actually going long, which is weird. So anyway, keep that in your back of your head. We're going to get to a little activity in a moment. But before that, I want to talk about a psychologist, Carol Dweck. She deals with learning and mindset. And she has really pioneered this idea of growth mindset. And so read a quote from her. We like to think of ourselves, our champions and idols as superheroes who were born different from us. We don't like to think of them as relatively ordinary people who made themselves extraordinary. So I don't agree with that wholly, because we don't make ourselves extraordinary. God makes us extraordinary, okay? Hopefully we don't have idols, but honestly, people do, right? We know that. But anyway, like I said, she pioneered this idea of a fixed versus growth mindset. So a fixed mindset is what most of us operate in most of the time. It's a belief that your capacity is rigid and unable to change. Okay? So it's this belief that at some point you can't really learn much more, at least in an area. It's just you are what you are. And if you're not good at something, you're just going to continue to not be good at something, right? Now, as much as we kind of know that that's not true, with how we operate, we don't really believe that,
right?
Because of the decisions that we make and the way we approach things. Well, I'm just not good at whatever it is. Well, I can't do that. That's just not me, right? There's so many things that we actually can be good at if we just believe that, hey, wait a minute, I can get better at stuff. Now, a lot of these, like I said, it's a little different, you know, as far as, of course, we have to put the sweat equity in, but the Lord provides the gift, right? So it's kind of this work in tandem. So if you catch yourself saying things like, I can't, or responding with like an absolute, like it's this or it's this or it's this, like not that absolutes don't exist. We know that absolutes exist. There's truths, right? But what I'm saying is just before you really, you know, investigate, you're like, oh, it's this. Oh, it's this. You might have that, be operating that fixed mindset. I'm going to just tell you something. The older you are, the worse it tends to get. Okay? So, but the benefit is guess what? You're going to be older tomorrow. You're older now. You're older now. You're older now. Right now. So there's always a chance to kind of just step out of that and start operating with more of a growth mindset. So obviously, growth mindset is the belief that your capacity can develop with learning, effort, and practice, and the Holy Spirit. So some things just to think about. Practice asking questions. You know, when you're having a conversation and someone comes to you and says, hey, could you do this? And if you're like, I don't know, ask some questions about it. You know, give yourself a chance to contemplate and pray about it. And really pray about it. Not, oh, I'll pray about it. And you're just like, no thanks. And then practice listening. Listening is a great skill. Okay, so here's the activity. I want to do an inventory with you. So you should have in, if you've got a worship folder, there should be a little piece of paper that's stuffed in there with some sentence frames. And actually, I need to borrow one because I don't.
Ooh. Awesome.
Thank you. Yeah, now you're exempt. Now, here's the thing. I do want you to fill this out. Please. And I would like you to put it in the offering basket. I don't want you to put your name on it. Okay?
Put my name on it? I don't have one.
No, Eden. She's not in your head, say it. Of course, she'd probably think it's funny anyway. Yeah, don't put your name on it. Because the goal of this is not to identify individuals who have a gift. It's just kind of for you to memorialize something that you're thinking about and praying about. And it's also a way, I was just thinking we could see what's happening in our church and what kind of gifts that we have here, just as an aggregate, all together, okay? Again, please don't put your name on it.
Can I put someone else's name on it?
Definitely don't put someone else's name on it. I think Carrie went to the back, and she's going to get some more. And so so all you have to do is just fill in the blanks, and like I said, there's some sentence frames there, and you just fill it in, what it says, okay? And kind of complete that thought. So I'm going to make it uncomfortable. I'm going to give you a few minutes to just do that. Just go ahead and think about it. If I was really on my A game, I would say, don't write anything, the teacher and me. Here's your think time. But I'm just going to let you do your thing.
Thanks.
Thank you.
finish. That's okay. You can turn in later. Don't put your name, don't put the date on the top.
Not the date
either. But yeah, when we pass the baskets around, we're gonna, if you would be so inclined, just put them in the baskets, go ahead and fold it up or whatever. And again, and I have an idea for what we can do with that information just to kind of show it off. So, but it'll all be anonymous. So going back to what I read earlier, the hand cannot say to the, or the eye cannot say to the hand, I have no need of you. Nor again, the head of the feet, I have no need of you. On the contrary, the parts of the body that seem weaker are indispensable. And on those parts of the body that we think less honorable, we bestow the greater honor. And our unpresentable parts are treated with greater modesty, which our more presentable parts do not require. But God has so composed the body, get this, giving greater honor to the parts of the body that lacked it, that there may be no division in the body, and that but that the members may have the same care for one another. If one member suffers, all suffer together. If one member is honored, all rejoice together. So Paul's writing the Corinthians, and the outcome to the parts of the body working together, it wasn't to accomplish an outward ministry, kind of like what we did yesterday, or Trunk or Treat, or Project Hope. So, I mean, of course, when we work together as a church and we use our spiritual gifts, those things occur, those things happen, but he's writing about unity here. He's writing about rejoicing in one another's victories and suffering together. And that, I was like, wow, I didn't think about that. You know, because I'm thinking about an output-input sort of thing, and that's what is happening here. But it's really about building up the body of Christ and using our spiritual gifts for that. So, something else to think about. So here's some gifts that is written about in Corinthians. Now, you are the body of Christ and individually members of it. And God has appointed in the church first apostles, second prophets, third teachers, then miracles, then gifts of healing, helping, administrating, and various kinds of tongues. Are all apostles? Are all prophets? Are all teachers? Do all work miracles? Do all possess gifts of healing? Do all speak with tongues? Do all interpret? But earnestly desire the higher gifts. So, not everyone does everything. But there's potential there to do definitely probably more than we're currently doing as individuals, okay? So don't lock yourself in. Don't put yourself in a box because kind of what you're doing is limiting God in a way, because God can do with you what he wants to do with you. He's sovereign. And it says to earnestly desire the higher gifts, but then Paul gets to the main thing here, and he says, and I will show you still a more excellent way. And then we get into a beautiful verse, or beautiful verses. If I speak in tongues of men and of angels, but have not love, I am a noisy gong or a clanging cymbal. But man, that's a great thing to be speaking in tongues of men and of angels. But if you don't have love, it's just like you're banging on a trash can. And if I have prophetic powers and understand all mysteries and all knowledge, and if I have all faith so as to remove mountains but have not love, I am nothing. It's not like this is some serious stuff he's talking about. But look at what love does if it's there, and look what's missing if it's not there. If I give away all I have, and I deliver up my body to be burned, that's pretty serious. But if I don't have love, I gain nothing. So, I mean, that's our motivation, is love. That's why it's an opportunity. We get a chance to love each other and to serve one another through our giftings, right? And that's the big thing, right? Is just think about the love that you have for one another in this room and your chance to serve God by serving the folks here, and then also serving the folks in our community too. Because God loves them as well, amen? You do. Or he does. Let love be genuine, abhor what is evil, hold fast to what is good, love one another with brotherly affection, outdo one another in showing honor. Do not be slothful in zeal, be fervent in spirit, serve the Lord, rejoice in hope. Be patient in tribulation, be constant in prayer. Contribute to the needs of the saints and seek to show hospitality. So, I mean, we're kind of in this together, right? I mean, we all pitch in, and that's how the church should operate, is everyone has a part. It's not a sit and get. I don't know if you've ever been to a sit and get meeting where you sit down and you just, you know, you get all these facts and then you go. It's, no one likes to go to those, okay? So let's not do that, right? When we come together as a church, let's all participate. And let's just think about what God has placed on your heart to, in what ways to serve and what gift that you have that he wants you to operate in, whether it be one that you're just naturally good at or maybe one that the Holy Spirit's telling you, hey, I'm going to make you better at this. Okay? Let's pray. Jesus, I just thank you for my brothers and sisters here. Thank you for their willingness to sit and listen to me. God, I pray that, you know, the words that we, things that we talked about here today, Lord, I just ask that they're of you in that, Lord, if there's something that you're leading us towards, I'm not sure what that even looks like necessarily for each individual, but God, you do. And I think kind of we do too. Lord, just make it clear to us, burn on our hearts, what role that you want us to fulfill, what giftings that we have, and what giftings we need to develop, God. And we thank you, Lord, that you bestow on us gifts to do your good work, Lord. And we just pray that as a church, as New Hope, we operate in such a fashion. In your name, Jesus, amen.